Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast is a mixture of short podcasts based on the blogs we have and longer podcasts, which will be interviews or discussion topics. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? I've been having a lot of conversations recently about change. Why it's needed, how to effect it, and who needs to drive it. Today I'm focusing on the why. Winston Churchill said, "To improve is to change, to be perfect is to change often." That change happens in this world, and in life is a known fact. Most people accept this, and will manage a small degree of change fairly easily. After a change has happened and become the new normal, people tend to look back and decide whether it was positive or negative. Think back to the first time you saw a mobile phone. For some, you might be thinking about a brick from the 80s. Others might picture a Nokia or a smartphone. While there will always be some people who prefer the old ways, most people agree that the modern smartphone has made our lives much easier. Changes that don't work generally get rejected and are then adjusted further before being re-implemented. Famous examples include Windows Vista, the Gap rebranding, and the Tropicana repackaging. But what about all those times when changes did work? Almost every product or company you've ever interacted with will have changed during the course of their life, very often for the better. Often, these changes are small, as these are the least noticeable for consumers. But sometimes bigger changes are needed, if technology has improved or systems have to be replaced. The bigger the change, the more we humans struggle with it. We like things to stay the same. Consistency is comfortable. When it comes to diving, we've done the same things, been taught the same way, and followed the same processes for many decades. The biggest changes we've had to deal with were going from the ABLJ to the BCD, the use of dive computers, or for some going from open to closed circuit. The way we have been teaching has remained the same, pretty much since recreational diving began its boom years in the mid-70s. This is great for instructors. It's an incredibly comfortable place to be able to teach the same course over and over for decades in the same way. So why change now? Knowledge. The main reason is because our knowledge has evolved. We now know that not only is it possible to teach people while they are neutrally buoyant, it also makes them better divers. Enough mavericks have been teaching this way for long enough to prove the concept. When new style DIR agencies started to appear, they furthered the case for it and helped show not only why to do it, but also how. That how has been talked about by many instructors and documented in blogs and on YouTube, enough that even the most ignorant of instructors is likely to have heard of it by now. Newer agencies are insisting on it. Older agencies are suggesting it. Change seems to be inevitable. Equipment. We've come a long way since the early days of double hoses and no wetsuits. The most recent change has been driven from the cave and tech community, the increasing uptake of wings and long hose setups. Once cavers realised how much easier these made their lives, they started sharing them with recreational divers. It took a while to catch on, but the last 15 years or so, has seen a huge increase in people using wings even for single tank, non-overhead diving. Once recreational divers saw the benefits, they too wanted to share these. Instructors started questioning why students couldn't learn in this configuration. Again, the DIR agencies led the way and showed people how to do it. The more people who learn this, the more people want to share the ease of it, and the louder their voices get, driving further change. Teaching methods. The final main reason for change is the huge development in teaching methods over the last few decades. Teaching is a subject that is well studied, and new systems are being developed regularly. In diving, we've seen the introduction of new technology such as videos and most recently online courses. Some agencies are starting to teach their instructors how to teach, not just what to teach. Of course, one of the big new fields is human factors or non-technical skills. We now have ways for instructors to improve students' situational awareness, communication, decision-making, and teamwork. This makes better instructors and better and safer students and divers. All these reasons for change seem fairly solid, and yet there are still people who are resisting. Why is this? For one, it's because of the comfort factor I mentioned earlier. Change requires effort. To relearn to teach something you've been teaching for decades is harder than learning to teach something new. By not changing and staying up to date with modern best practice, we're not giving our students a fair start. Another reason is the "but we've always done it this way" excuse. If something works, there is very little incentive to change it. Students who are taught negatively buoyant, on their knees, still learn to dive. Indeed, most instructors probably learnt that way themselves. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, is a mantra in many places. But to effect change, we need to always be looking at other options available and deciding what is best. The final reason things don't change is that age-old demotivation, money. It costs time, and therefore money, to retrain people. Replacing equipment can be expensive, and reissuing materials with new teaching and learning techniques is costly. All of this leads on to next week's blog. Who is responsible for change? Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, The Book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.